Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Tom Waits has one of the most distinctive voices in music. Trouser Press once described it as a gravelly, smoke-scratched rasp that crosses Joe Cocker and Louis Armstrong at the end of a particularly bad bender. So it would be impossible for women to cover his songs, right? Wrong. Musician and producer Warren Zanes compiled a Tom Waits tribute album called Come On Up to the House, Women Sing Waits. It features many great performers, including Patti Griffin, Amy Mann, and Roseanne Cash. Our colleague and senior Tom Waits correspondent, Roz Greyard, caught up with Warren to find out more about the collection.
The moment that that recording came in, you know, Joseph's Come On Up to the House, I felt like something about, you know, how I felt about the spirit of the project was embodied in their recording. And there's something about, and I'm projecting all kinds of elements, no doubt, but that Come On Up to the House felt like a particularly kind of maternal moment to me. There was something about, you know, the best side in my life of femininity has often been those moments when I'm lost and I'm wounded and somebody sees it and says, come on up to the house and let's see if we can get some healing done. You know, that's the way I took it. And I thought, God, that's such a good sentiment. And I feel, you know, when we put these songs in the hands of female artists, I just felt that spirit increase. And it's a free-floating thing that it goes beyond gender, but in my associations, I associated more with a female spirit. So that song, when I was sequencing, I'm like, God, I think this has to be the first song. And the more I worked on the sequence, the more central that recording became. And then I thought, wow, this is the title.
Well, the moon is broken and the sky is cracked. Come on up to the house. The only thing you can see is all that you lack. Come on up to the house. Oh, you're crying, don't do no good. Come on up to the house. Come down off the cross, we can use the wood. You gotta come on up to the house.
The material tells you. The material has its own pulse. And in this case, the material told me, and I took it to Scott Robinson. He said, yeah, that's the title, and that's the vibe.
How did this all come together as far as the artists? Did you select the artists that would be involved?
It was really, I worked with Scott, and he allowed me to dream. And I've done multi-artist projects in the past, and I knew at the outset that you ask 100 to get 10.
Yeah.
And so you can create your wish list, but what you end up with will never reflect that original list. A few people did. But the interesting thing for me was that it being Tom Waits who was being honored, recognized, whatever word you might use, the percentage of takers was much higher, which was a beautiful thing about the project. But there were some, you know, there were the ones that got away. I really had a dream of Patti Smith doing What's He Building in There. I wanted Chrissy Hynde doing 16 Shells from a 30-06.
That's awesome.
Regina Spektor was one that I talked to. Stevie Nicks, she was on my very first list, but they were just getting ready to go on the road. And Lindsey Buckingham had been... an exit had been created for him, mm-hmm. and Mike Campbell and Neil Finn had come into the band. So obviously they were very, very busy. But in some cases, it's not because they don't love Waits as much as the next person, but it's maybe they can't find the song that feels like theirs as it comes out of them. But we did have a high rate of people coming back. And the beauty is these kind of things, it's the gods are looking down and they're going to tell you what it's going to be in the end.
I love that. So almost all of the musicians on the album are folk and country artists, with the exception of Corinne Bailey-Ray, whose roots are more in soul and pop music. Was that an intentional choice, or was that, again, just what the gods gave you?
With Corinne Bailey-Ray, yeah, she's a little more over in a kind of pop, soul, jazz territory. And in that case, I just had this idea of Jersey Girl in her hands. And the thing that I love the most is that I really wanted her to not change the gender pronouns. I wanted this song, you know, a man singing to a woman, to be a woman singing to a woman. But I didn't want to ask for that because that's so personal.
Right.
And she just delivered it back. And so it takes this song and it changes it quite dramatically, even though not a single word changes. Say sha la 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 la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la la. Sha la la la. Sha la la. I'm in love with a jazzy girl.
And I really love that version. I find myself putting that one on repeat a lot.
In the world of what we're now calling Americana, there are more of the singer-songwriter types in that world. And if you are a singer-songwriter, it's almost inevitable that you've spent some time trying to figure out, you know, what is the magic in this potion that Tom Waits has been cooking up for so many years. And he's got such a capacity to get the 90-minute movie into the 3-minute song. So you just had a lot of artists in that world who had their favorite Waits songs. You know, like Patty Griffin's a great example. Ruby's Arms, which I think her version of that is just emotionally stunning.
I will leave behind all of my when I was with you. All I need's my railroad boots and my leather jacket.
She'd been performing that live for a number of years, and man, she was so inside the material, and it just worked out quickly, easily, and her performance, she sure didn't need any notes from me.
And another one I put on repeat a lot is Phoebe Bridgers' version of Georgia Lee, which the first time I heard it, I actually got choked up because of her, like, sorrowful, broken-down voice, very forlorn.
It's devastating.
Yes, that's the word, devastating.
Cold was the night and hard was the ground. They found her in a small grove of trees. Lonesome was the place where Georgia was found. She's too young to be out on the street. Why wasn't God watching? Why wasn't God listening? Why wasn't God there for Georgia Lee?
And again, there, no notes needed from me. That thing came back, and all I had to say was thank you. And I do think something happened again with the lyrics, and it wasn't a case of pronouns. It was a case of, what did this song come to mean coming out of a young woman? because it's about a young woman. And when Waits sings it, it changes. You know, sometimes I think we forget that a song is not the thing that lives on the paper as words and notes, but a song is the thing that forms in between the listener and the performer. So the listener's context matters, the performer's context matters, and you can't have two people do the same song in the same way. And in the case of Georgia Lee, it was just something happened that, you know, there's a lot of emotion in Waits' version. Phoebe Bridgers identifies it, and then she brings this additional layer of emotion, and it's, whew.
Yeah.
You know, it just knocked me out.
Definitely. I definitely felt that. And you touched on this a little, basically, about how when two different artists play a cover, it's going to be different. Do you think that there are songs on this album that might be better than the original? Can I ask that?
it's a great question. I don't know if I'm man enough to answer that, because this is ultimately, you know, the number one goal was to wrap up a birthday present and hand it to Tom Waits on his 70th.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. And just to say, man, we came together as a group to tell you how much you mean to us. And that was the thing. Did any of the performers make a song better? They definitely made it different. You know, Amy Mann doing Hold On versus Tom Waits, it flips some emotional switches that he can't.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously can do some that Amy can't, but it's not so much, and I'm not doing this just to play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much thinking about making it better. It's like we go back to the Waits version and hear it with a new resonance, because we just had Amy Mann take us through it.
Yeah.
And we heard new things.
They hung a sign up in our town. If you live it up, you won't live it down. So she left Monterey sun. Just like a bullet leaves a gun.
When we go back to the Waits version, we can actually apply them. So it's a little bit of this learning about the song. The more teachers you've got on a subject, the better you know it well. The more singers you got on a song, the better you know that song.
So did you have any hand in recording these, or did the musicians just give their versions to you and you just gave the okay?
This is actually a good thing to teach people out in the world. If you want the easiest producer credit in the world, do a multi-artist compilation, because they'll each have their own producers on those tracks. But if you put it together, you get the production credit.
There you go.
So the answer is I handed it over to much more qualified people. And there are some great, you know, Brad Jones in particular, I have to isolate, because he's a brilliant player, he's a brilliant engineer, and he's a brilliant producer. And he was kind of my main man, if there was one, in the studio. And he really helped weigh in on all of it. And he produced a number of the things himself. And, you know, when I go to make my own records, I often work with Brad because of what he brings to it. And he's a guy who honors the song.
Have you heard from Tom Waits about what he thinks of the album? I mean, you made this for his 70th birthday, so I assume he's heard it.
Yeah, you know, with birthday gifts, and I got kids, so I think about this. How meaningful is it when you say to them, hey, I'm thinking about getting you a puppy for your 13th birthday? If you start having the conversation, by the time the puppy comes, like, who really gives a crap? Yeah, it's cool, but it's not as cool as if suddenly there in the middle of the room, unbeknownst to anyone, is a puppy. You know, so with this birthday present to Tom Waits, do we go to him and consult, work with him, ask permission, or do we make this present, wrap it, and hand it over when the birthday comes? And we chose the latter, and when the first track was pre-released and it was Patty Griffin's Ruby's Arms, he put it up on his website and on his social media sites. And for me, that was my favorite moment, to have him in that way publicly acknowledge, I see what you kids did.
So do you feel like this album could be a doorway for potential new Tom Waits fans? Because, you know, some people might hear the versions on this compilation and be like, oh, that's so beautiful and stunning. And then they hear the original. And, you know, like you said, it's Tom Waits. It's his gravelly, gritty voice. But maybe, you know, it could cross over.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is not uncommon in, you know, how we take in music. Like, we hear something, and this is one of the best things about us as creatures, is we want to trace it back. So if somebody hears Phoebe Bridgers doing Georgia Lee and looks at the credit and it's like, oh, she didn't write this, and they start to track it back to Waits, I hope some of that's happening. That's the way we did it growing up. I mean, the Rolling Stones got us to Slim Harpo. And once we got to Slim Harpo, you know, Beatles got us to Arthur Alexander. And once we got there, they took us somewhere else. So it's interesting. We're so ahistorical at times, but as listeners, we're often pretty good about being historical, seeing where it came from, and trying to understand. We may not articulate it as such. So I hope this record does bring people back to this motherload of songs and recordings that Waits has given us.
Thank you so much, Warren Zanes.
Thank you.
The smart money's on Harlow, and the moon is in the street, and the shadow boys are breaking all the laws. And it's east of East St. Louis, and the wind is making
Warren speeches. Zanes is a musician, writer, and the producer of Come On Up to the House, Women Sing Waits. He spoke to Beta's senior Tom Waits correspondent, Roz Greyert. You can find out more about Roz, Warren, and the Tom Waits tribute album at WPR.org/beta.
This is an observation I made years and years and years ago about how much Black vernacular is like seeping into these memes being used by really people like all over the world, people of varying cultural backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, racial backgrounds.
White Negroes author Lauren Michelle Jackson on the important role that Blackness plays in meme culture. That's coming up in a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.